Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Anytime a parent sends their children out, launching them out, is an emotional time. But what about if you're on the completely other side of the globe and you are sending your child out to a new place because they've been raised there and they're going to a different culture, going to different people? You're sending them out. A lot of emotions are in that, much less if it's just down the road. But when it's across the world and everything changes, what a time to pray. Well, what Nathan and I are going to be talking about today is missionaries that have experienced this. And matter of fact, the interview that you will hear following our discussion is with a missionary who brought their child home to the United States, quote, to stay here, go to school, and then head back to the mission field. Nathan, you've experienced sending your daughter down, what, hour, 2 hours away?
Yeah, about 2 hours down the road, and it was hard. And it's still hard. It's, a lot of parents have experienced this, so I'm not the only one. And some situations can be even more difficult than what we've experienced. We've been to her campus and seen her at her school, our oldest daughter. And she's been home a few times, of course, brought her laundry with her and did that sort of thing. And we're just a 2 to 2.5 hour drive away. So you said something as you were introducing this. You mentioned the word home. She has a home. She even has her own room, her own bed. Everything's
still there,
ready for her at any time she needs. But she has a home to come back to. Home for a missionary child, you might call them a third culture kid, a child who grows up in a different culture from where their parents grew up when the parents were children. You know, a missionary couple, they generally have a home that they think of, where they were launched from, where they were sent out from, maybe a hometown where they grew up. And they can, most of the times, come back to that and see that as home, and it feels like coming home. All the emotions that go with that, right? But a child who grows up on the mission field, sometimes that mission field is their home. And so to come back to the United States or wherever home for mom and dad is not home for them. It can be a lot of different mixed emotions along with that, and a lot of challenges along with that. So one, we need to recognize that challenge and that difficulty for third culture kids, for missionary children, whether home on furlough or come back home for to stay or to go to school. There's a lot of opportunities for the church to help, support. That's part of sending missionaries out from our churches, our local churches. It's also welcoming and being a support system for children as they grow and as they have different needs, whether they be education or whatever the reason.
So when a couple, a family, knows of a MK, a missionary's kid, that has been raised in a whole different culture, and they're in your area, a college or university setting, and especially if they happen to come to church, which many times they do, and you hear about it, what an opportunity it is. Jan and I have experienced that with MKs and trying to help them and encourage them along the way. And it is kind of like a different battle. And some people, you can't force it, but you can become the one that they can call on from time to time when they need some advice, need some help to be there for them.
Absolutely. Every child, from the youngest all the way through teenage, even college student years, needs an outside voice that's not within the home setting. But
that really helps, matter what kid it is.
Yes, they need whether it's an extra grandparent, someone that's not necessarily kin by blood, but by the Spirit of God, and they love and want to care for the child. Every child needs that outside voice that A lot of times we'll say the same thing that the parents are saying, but they reinforce it from a different perspective.
Well, I'm going to share something with you here on national radio about you.
Okay.
You had two guys that you went to. I'm going to just give their first name, Lee and Buster.
Yep.
And they would call me up and say, hey, this is what we're going to tell them. Does that sound good? And I said, sounds right on, man.
Yep.
So it is awesome to have those people with you. But missionary kids, when their parents are way over there, and I know we got phones, and praise God for that, that they can connect. But it's still, sometimes you need somebody with skin on, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You really do. And that's a source of pain for a lot of missionary kids because they don't necessarily have that experience, and it's not always been a healthy experience. But coming back to, let's say, the U.S. or wherever back is, wherever they're going for their education, that's a primary reason why missionary kids will leave the home where their parents serve, and they will come, usually college, but it could be even earlier than that, like a high school kind of education. Because, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why parents choose to send their children to an out-of-country school.
Matter of fact, we had an interview with Maddie Jasper, who is our own J.J. Jasper's daughter, who is serving in a school like that. And she's helping to educate a lot of them, or missionary kids who are there because of where they are, and they're able to come there and go to school. So it's still, you have that separation, don't you?
Yeah, that's there too. And then there are some missionaries who choose to have a tutor, a teacher, come to them and live with them on the mission field and homeschool the child. Sometimes that is an option. Or sometimes a spouse will do the honors of educating at home the children. I mean, we know this here in the U.S. There's all kinds of educational options. And the same is true for missionaries, but sometimes the local options are not good ones.
Yeah.
And so you have to look elsewhere. And then college, it makes sense to want to come back to the U.S. if that's where your parents are from. That's probably where you're going to land as a young adult, and you want to get an education a lot of times here in the U.S.
The Bible has some, I would say, separations of parent and child. I think of Lois and Eunice, who were Timothy's mother and grandmother, and I always remembered that L-E-T. Lois is the grandmother, Eunice is the mother, and then Timothy is the son. And Paul comes to his town, and he's been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord already, and sounds like Paul was just impressed with this young man who had been taught the scriptures from a youth. And so he leaves his mom and that and starts out with Paul on a missionary journey. There's a separation, yeah, isn't it?
And probably as a teenager at the age that Timothy was, as best we can tell. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1 is what you're referring to. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. That's the number one thing we could do for missionaries, for their families, for their children. Let's pray for them continually. Their needs are many. We can't always understand and know them. God does. And so let's pray for them. He says, remembering your tears. It's a difficult journey that missionary children and missionary families have to travel, that God has called them to. It's not easy. It's very difficult. There will be tears. And so we need to stand with them and be there with them through that. He says, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. Missionary kids need the faith that is in them, their commitment to follow Jesus as an individual, as a person, to be called out of them. They need to see growth personally. They need to have their own experiences with Jesus. It's not good enough to have your grandparents or your parents to be faithful. Each person has to be faithful, even that young person. And so they need that voice that will help draw that out of them. God will bring that growth into their life, a stronger commitment, where they identify themselves as a follower of Jesus. And many missionary kids do go on back to the mission field, mm-hmm, because they feel their own call, and that's a good thing.
And sometimes go back to their home, and they serve where their parents serve.
Yeah.
Some do a different place. But that wasn't all. After Timothy would follow Paul, and he became like a child or a son to Paul, And guess what? There was separation. What would Paul do? He would send Timothy ahead to a place or leave him somewhere while he would go on. And so it makes me think about what Abraham started on early. He said, leave your father and mother and go to a place I'll call you. I think that's part of maturity in a believer's life, being willing to, as we said last week, anywhere, anytime, anything, here I am, Lord, I'm willing.
Yeah, it's that unique combination of followers of Jesus who are obedient to God's call in our lives, that we want to be rooted wherever he plants us. We want to grow deep roots, connect with people, be engaged in our communities and where we are. We need to bloom where we're planted. At the same time, we are also mobile and easily, quickly uprooted and ready to move. And that's
don't dig your roots too deep.
Yeah, it's a hard life. And the missionary kids feel that very acutely, and they know that. And we could listen and learn a lot from them on how to live that kind of life, that not necessarily as nomads, but also not as settlers, that pilgrim life. We're on the move. We're going where God sends us. But we're going to bless the city where he's put us in. We're going to be a blessing to our community. We're going to be missionaries in the fields that he plants us in.
So you're going to hear an interview of a dad who has brought his daughter to go to school in America and head back to where he's serving. I think you'll enjoy this interview here on Exploring Missions. Today, we have the privilege of finishing up an interview that we started last week. And so this is part two, and Luke is with us again. Luke, thank you for staying around.
Sure. Glad to be here again.
Last week, we talked about Luke, his calling into the ministry, his preparation, his assignments, where he is, when the family came along. And if you didn't get to hear that, you can go back to AFR and look under the podcast and look under Exploring Missions, and you can look at last week and you can hear that interview. And if you didn't, I think you're missing a lot if you don't hear that, because we talked about going to difficult places. And sometimes the Lord calls us to difficult places, and some are more difficult than others, but we praise the Lord. So, Luke, thank you for being with us again.
Yep, glad to be here again.
We're calling this one Transitions in Missions. So, you served 2 years, you and your wife served 2 years, and then came back to the States.
That's right.
And then you were assigned to North Africa, and then you were transitioned to the Middle East.
We went to Europe. And then we went to the Middle East.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've been around a lot of different places.
So you spent some time in Europe as well.
I have, that's right.
Okay. Not just a world traveler, a world liver.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so we're thankful you're here, and we're asking some questions that's a little bit different, and we're talking about transitions, your family. We went over that last week, but tell us about, I know your wife, but you also have children. Tell us about them.
That's right. We have four children. The oldest is going to university. So for the first time in our lives, we're walking that new journey, that new episode. So she's headed to the university. We have two boys that are in high school, and then we have one more daughter who is in the fifth grade.
Wow. Spread out pretty good, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And two of them have been born while you're away from the United States.
That's right. They all were raised overseas. So the oldest was two when we moved overseas, and the youngest two were born overseas.
And so they've lived their life in those locations.
That's right.
Raised in that environment, raised in that culture. Was it difficult out there when they're out there amongst the society and the town or wherever you might be? It's a completely different culture. At home, where you six were, was it more, did you speak Arabic or did you speak English when you were at home?
We've always spoken English in the house. So our kids are fluent in other languages. They learn those outside the house. Inside the house, we've always spoken English and probably experienced a hybrid culture in that sense because of the way things are in the house versus outside the house.
This is not frivolous, but forage like your diet, did they learn to have a different diet over there, because you can't just run over to somewhere, short order place, and order something? Is it different for is the culinary aspect of missions?
Well, my wife is a great cook. And okay. She can take anything and make a great meal out of it. So they've eaten well wherever they've been, but it is true that...
all the ingredients may be different, though?
She cooks everything from scratch, so she takes whatever she can and makes it. It's different, though. Absolutely, it's different.
Well, I say that because the transition that your oldest daughter is making, as you just said, she's going to come American food, and so it's going to be... all the time, and somebody else is cooking besides mama's, sounds like, as well.
I think so, yep.
From a parent's point of view, and your child has come, and we want to go back over that, the transition. I understand, and you're with the International Mission Board.
That's right.
But when a missionary's kid, they make that transition from being on the field in a different culture, they're coming back to America, they have some workshops or whatever to help them make that transition. Is that right?
Yeah. So just a few weeks ago, actually, our daughter attended a conference. It was a 3 or 4 day long conference, and that's all that it was about, was helping different kind of workshops, different kind of teachings to help her really think through the kinds of questions she's probably not aware that she should be asking in terms of what that transition is going to look like. So we're thankful for that.
That was the one that I have hard time getting my mind around, is how that transition is made. Do you know if the International Mission Board created this because the transition would be difficult, or has they been doing it forever for as foreign missionaries, or is it something they've developed because they saw the need?
They've been doing it a long time.
Okay.
But they've been doing it a long time because it is a huge need.
So one more question about your home. Did American news, American whatever it might be, games, entertainment, were they involved in that, or is it available? The reason I ask that, again, when they come over here and they find out, man, everybody's doing TikTok, everybody, you know, they're doing all these things, is that a real issue?
I've actually been really surprised at how my kids stay connected to American cultures in ways that I don't even know how to. With media and the internet, they're able to stay connected in ways. But then you also see the gaps that they have in understanding. So they're more connected than would have been the case in the past, but there's still those gaps, and they can be kind of funny at times.
Well, I remember when GPSs first came out, and my wife and I were having trouble, and our 3-year-old granddaughter was in the back, and she fixed it for us.
There you go.
You know, that's how savvy. Well, it's not necessarily how savvy they are. It may be how untech Bert Harper is, so sometimes that's the issue. Okay, this transition that your daughter is going through, what about mom and dad?
Yeah, what about mom and dad? Well,
yeah.
Mom's been crying a lot, and dad maybe a little bit, but where nobody could see it. So, yeah, it's tough, and we're right in the middle of it. So I don't even know how I'm going to feel a week from now when I'm back overseas. It's tough.
How about your other children? I know this. I'm the youngest of a pretty large family, and I can remember when two of my sisters left home, and I was just, one time I was a preschooler, the other I was in grade school. And it was painful for me because these big sisters, for me, they were like second mamas, I could say. Do you know how your children, those three that will go back with you?
Yeah, our youngest, she has no qualms. She's not afraid to just let everybody know she's sad. So she's definitely sad, and she lets everybody know it. The boys, it's actually been interesting, you know, two high school boys, right? I'm not going to let those emotions show, but then just the little things they'll ask or the little comments that they're making, you can tell it's impacting them for sure.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. You're waiting again in a few years to make this transition again for another one. So will you come home? And I don't know, hope this is not going where I don't need to go. Will you come home each time to make that handoff, or will sometime they fly over on their own and they go through this transition on their own?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's just really hard to figure out the right answer to it. So our oldest is launching now, 2 years from now, the next one, and then a year after that. It'd be really difficult for us to come back twice in a row. It's just hard for us to do. So right now, we don't even know the answer to that question yet. We're trying to seek wisdom and try to figure out the best way to navigate it.
This is Exploring Missions, and we're talking to Luke, who he and his family are missionaries in the Middle East, and they've been there quite a few years serving and ministering, but they're in a transition period of time in their family, and they're facing that transition year, 2 years down the road. And so we're talking about that because I want all of those of you who are listening to know some of the, I would say, the difficulties that missionary families face. And of all the ones that I've heard, Luke, that one may be, when I talked to your dad and he was telling you what was going to happen while you were here, I thought, man, that's got to be tough, because I know personally my only granddaughter, she left the home of her mom and dad and just went to a college just 2.5 hours away. And we thought, oh, man, this is hard. So you're over there. They're over here. That's quite a, I'm saying that because I want people to know we need to be praying for, because you're not the only one. She wasn't the only one at that transition workshop conference about missionary kid being raised somewhere else and now staying in the States and going to school.
There were scores of them there. That's exactly right.
So that would be a strong prayer request, because there's a tendency that we have to fight against, and it didn't happen between you and your dad. You gave your dad testimony last week about him being saved even after you were born, but he got saved and followed the Lord, following Christ all the way, still going today. But there's a tendency in the scripture of what we call, what I call, generational slide. You know, David had a whole heart, Solomon half a heart, Rehoboam no heart, and so you do everything you can. No, I want to hand this baton off to the next generation. Is it being in a culture where you're more isolated from the American culture, when you're trying to pass on the faith to the next generation, I don't know how to ask, is it more difficult or is it easier because they're more, quote, isolated, dependent on you? Or would you have any suggestions?
Yeah, it's hard for me to speak about a comparison, but the last time we were making a transition, when we were deciding as a family to move from Europe to the Middle East, we knew for our oldest, the one who's going to college, that it would be the most difficult. And we agonized over that decision because of the difficulty it was going to be for her. And one evening, my wife and I were sitting on the couch downstairs, and she came down. She was in her bedroom, but she came down and she looked at us and she goes, "Mom, Dad, I know that this transition is going to be hard, but I want you to know the Lord has told me this is what our family needs to do. So don't worry about me." So we're hoping in the Lord. We were hoping in the Lord then, and we're hoping in the Lord now. It's just by His grace.
Amen. Hey, we live by grace. We're saved by grace. We live by grace, and we die by grace.
Amen.
It's a life of grace, isn't it?
Amen.
All the way. Well, another thing that I was really wanting to hit on concerning what's going on with your family, and that is, did you homeschool the kids there?
Our kids have always been in local public schools. So we've had to supplement with extra classes, English classes, things like that. But from the time they were little, they were always in local national schools. And we wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a great experience.
Okay. I just got to ask, are their standards high enough that it was not a lot of trouble for her or your children to be ready for college here in America?
The first school they were in, especially when we were in Europe, was when we moved to the Middle East. We've also found a great school. It's more of an international school. It's super diverse, but it's more of an international school, but it's a great school as well.
For those of you that listen, each week we had someone that we interviewed just a few weeks ago. We did this interview, and this young lady is going to an international school, and that's in Africa that she'll be doing, but that's what she'll be doing, teaching there. And she said, we're going to keep it on a level that's very, very high. And that's exciting to see that they think enough about missionary kids that they are able to have these at different locations in different sections of the world where the missionaries are working.
I don't think parents of missionary kids could even describe what a blessing that is and how important it is. So we can't stay on the field in a lot of places unless that's the case. So praise God for this lady.
Okay, let's go back to your daughter. Because of Zoom and because of all the new technology, email and everything, will this make it a lot better than it would have been years and years ago when the only communication would have been by letter?
Well, when we first moved overseas, we got one phone call a week with our parents back home, and that cost a lot of money. So we're extremely thankful that it's going to be easier this time around. So we'll be able to keep in touch with her. We're thankful for that. But there's also challenges. So
okay.
She's still not there with us.
Well, I want to just tell you, our prayers go with you and your family as you minister and serve the Lord. Again, let's remind people that did not listen to last week, you're in the Middle East, and you're training others to go out into the field for a three-year period of time. They're in the training, and then they go and start churches, start Bible studies. But you're in the process of training these missionaries there on the field itself.
That's exactly right. And what a joy it is to work with these men and women who are great, great women and men of faith and serving the Lord faithfully. And we get to rub shoulders with them day in and day out. It's a huge joy.
And the good part I heard is after 3 years, you don't just send them out there, forget you. Continuing encouragement and challenges, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, we stay in touch throughout their missionary journeys.
Well, I want you to know we're going to ask our people here who are listening this weekend to be sure and be praying for you guys, Luke, and what God is doing, and praying for your children and asking God to bring fruit to the labor.
We'll take it.
Thank you for being with us, man.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. And we pray for the transitions in your life, because some of you may be ready to have your children to say, Lord, anywhere you want me, I'm willing to go. And then those parents have to say, Lord, we're willing to release them. They're protected in your hand. We pray that that would be the case as we stay on mission for God.